Lord, for today, thank you that we can come together to your word, open our mind and our hearts, that we may be able to appropriate everything that you have done for us. Enable us, Lord, to see with our eyes, hear with our ears, and receive from you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. The Holy Spirit is a key in our relationship with God. The way the Holy Spirit works in us today is very different from the way the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament, people even that had a relationship with God. We are in a position of advantage with respect to anybody in the Old Testament, including the greatest prophets, the way Jesus said. And we had to understand how to relate to the Holy Spirit properly, because this is going to make the difference in our life, the difference between being successful, being able to do what God wants us to do, to have power to overcome things in our life or not. And we have to understand that and to learn to work with the Holy Spirit power working in us, realizing that He is there, realizing what He can do in us and through us. We have to allow Him to do that, and we have to learn to operate according to the principle of the new covenant. And this is something that unfortunately is not very often done that way. You know, there is a big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a big difference the way God worked in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we have to know the difference, understand the difference, understand the impact, the implication of the new covenant. And this is really what makes the difference for us today compared to people in the Old Testament. Jesus came, and I said last week, for two purposes. One, to be our example, to operate in this new type of life. And the second one is to take our place and to pay for our sins, and to die on the cross, so that we don't need to go through those things, but we can bear the benefits of living the way He lived. Okay. Now, a covenant is a contract. Okay. It's a contract between two people. And really, in this case, it's a contract between man and God. The problem with the covenant in the Old Testament was that God was trying to establish or was establishing a covenant with people. And that covenant didn't work. The reason why the covenant didn't work is because people weren't able to keep their side of the covenant. They were coming short of the covenant all the time, so that the covenant is a contract between two people. There are some principles, some things that need to be respected on both sides. If you don't follow those principles, then the covenant is broken. And this is was happening all the time in the Old Testament, because the people could not keep up to the covenant with God. God knew that, and He had prepared a solution for the problem. You see, the new covenant is not between us and God. The new covenant is between Jesus and God. And we are heir of the covenant. So, doesn't depend on us, depend on Jesus. And Jesus kept all the rules, all the principles of the covenant, so it cannot be broken. So we are in a much better position, because we cannot break the covenant, because it's not with us. Now, You want somebody to have done the whole job for you. There it is. Okay? Now, the only thing that we have to do is to be connected with Jesus. You see, it's our connection with Jesus that makes the difference, because make us able to an heir of the covenant. And the covenant didn't take place, it doesn't take place in the teaching. Doesn't take place in the example that he gave us. And that's important, because it helps us to see how to live the new life that he's going to give us. But the new covenant takes place through his death. You know, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, it says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which she shed for many for the remission of sins." And the remission, really, the word in Greek there is aphesis, which means the setting free. It was used to when slaves were set free. That was the word that was used. So before, even if we are slave to sin, we are broken free from that because what Jesus has done. And we have to realize, we have to understand, we have to believe that. Because everything that you receive from God is by faith, so you have to believe that what Jesus did set you free from the need to sin. He did many other things, but that's one of the most important, and that's what brings about the change in us, so that our spirit is not anymore a dead spirit, but is a live spirit. There is a life of God inside us now. And it's not our life, it's not the human life, it's God life that working within us is the Holy Spirit coming to us and enabling us to overcome everything that is not of God. This is so important to understand. The forgiveness is the result of that, that what he took it on himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it said, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us." So you see, he took it on himself, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. See, that was the biggest change between us and him. He took our sins because he didn't do them anyway. And so, you know, he wasn't bound by them. And he gave us what he had for himself, which was righteousness. So our righteousness comes from him. Now this is really the new covenant that God established with us. And we have to understand that covenants or contracts are legal things that they are going to have to be maintained, they have to be respected, they have to be followed, they have to be abide by. And God is not the person who is going to break the covenant. When we say that God is faithful, what do we mean that God is faithful? That we can count on what he has promised, on the covenant that he has given us. So if he has given us a covenant, that means that we can count on the fact that he told us that this was going to be that way. And since it doesn't depend on us anymore, but depends on Jesus, because we are going to fail all the time because of our human silliness, we are in the best position that we can ever think, because we are in a covenant that cannot be broken. Amen. You know, I remember struggling with this. You see all the Old Testament, all these requirements that were there. If you do these things, then a blessing comes upon you. It doesn't work anymore that way. Yeah. And now it works. If Jesus did these things, then the blessing comes on us because we are heir of what he has done. Hallelujah. Because as long as we connect with him, he is going to pass on to us all the benefits of the covenant because of the victory he had. That doesn't mean that we go around doing all the wrong thing. The thing is, we cannot connect with him if you're going to do all the wrong thing, because the manifestation of the covenant is established is the fact that we are starting to want to do the right thing. And that what makes the difference. See, there is a change inside us. The covenant is established in God, is fulfilled the requirements of the law in a way, but in the other way, it changes us internally. In Hebrew chapter 8, makes the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and is not just stated in the New Testament, was also proclaimed before by Jeremiah very clearly in the Old Testament, and this in Hebrew chapter 8 is nothing else than a repetition what Jeremiah said before. And he said this, "For if the first covenant was faultless, then no place would have been for a second one. Because finding fault with them, he said, 'Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah.'" And so this is just, there is going to be, you know, and the day is past now. The new covenant had been established. It happened when Jesus died on the cross. So at that time, we are in the new day. We are in the new situation. We are in a new relationship. It says here that not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that they took, that I took them out of the, by the hand, out of the land of Egypt. You see, at that time it was the covenant of the law, the covenant of Moses. If you follow all these principles, then you're going to be blessed. Because they did not continue in my covenant, I disregarded them. You see, that's the thing. It didn't work, and it cannot work. And they tried all the time, and they kept falling. Says the Lord. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their heart." You see, there is a change that takes place. What does it mean to put my laws in their mind? It means simply that it doesn't go anymore for something external. That they know internally the right thing to do. Their heart knows the things that they should be doing. Because it's the work that God has done in them. So it's not a question we have a checklist and trying to fill in all the things like the Jews did. It doesn't work that way. You're never going to succeed that way because you're trying to impose something on yourself. This is something different. It comes from inside out because inside yourself you know the thing to do. And when you don't do the things, you know that your heart pointed out to you that you shouldn't be doing that. Now, if you want to keep that relationship with Jesus, you have to respond to your heart. Otherwise, what you do is you separate yourself from Him. And you lose that relationship. You lose. You, essentially, God doesn't remove you from the covenant. You remove yourself. It's for you to be connected with God because God has done everything He could do to give you everything you need for life and godliness. And if you don't, it's because you don't want it. You want something else rather than that. Now, at the same time, He has done everything that needed to be done. To the point that put the laws in their hearts and write them on their heart. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And to the point that it says that none of them shall teach the neighbor. I mean, you don't need to go around telling others what to do. I mean, we often forget that. Why? And on his brother saying, "Know the Lord, for all shall know me." So if they know Him, if they know what God expects, if they respond to what God has done for them, they'll know exactly what to do. From the least of them to the greatest of them. And their lawless deed, I will remember no more. Praise the Lord. I mean, we all missed it sometime. We all missed it yet sometime. But the point is, it's a question of missing it, not wanting it. And that they say, a new covenant, he has made the first one obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete is growing old, is ready to vanish away. This is what the important thing, that as soon as we end up trying to be legalistic and trying to impose things to do to people, what we end up doing is end up operating in according to the Old Testament ways. We cannot change people that way. The only way that people can be changed is because the power of God has changed them. And they got into the new covenant relationship with him. And as a result of that, everything is changed in them. See, all things passed away. People often do not believe that at all. They think that the bondage that they had, they're going to keep having them and the things like that. When instead they have to realize this is just memory of things. That they have the power to walk out of the past. That the past is gone. And God is bigger than their mistakes of the past. But they had to come to the place when they received that by faith. And to receive that by faith, they had to be knowing that this is, they had to know the word, because it's the word that set people free. Amen. Jesus said very clearly, and that was just prophetically spoken before by Isaiah, that they hear with their ears and they see with their eyes, but they do not understand. You know, that they may be able to see with their eyes and hear for their, with their ears and understand and be set free. Which is then when the freedom comes. Is when the understanding is coming, because they receive the word. He sent the word, the song that we sang before. He sent the word and healed them. It just doesn't just heal them. It just set them free completely from all the bondage and the consequences of the curse of the law. Free. To be able to be the way God wants them to be. And the key part is really for us to preach the good news and not the law. Because if we preach the law, we put them under the bondage of the Old Testament, and the only thing that happens then is that the only thing they're going to do is to keep falling and falling again and again, because there is not being change in them, because they're going to try to do things in their own strength instead of connecting with God and receiving the ability from the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. In us, in our flesh, there is nothing else but sin. There is not the ability to clean yourself up. You cannot clean yourself up. Nobody can do that, and you cannot clean other people. It's the Spirit of God that does the cleansing. It's the Spirit of God that empowers people to overcome. The completion of the new covenant is the coming of the Holy Spirit. This was the promise of the Father that was done from the beginning, so that they may be able to have the power to receive and to be transformed and to be new creatures. You cannot be a new creature by following the law. Otherwise, Jesus didn't need to die on the cross. But Jesus needed to die on the cross, and we need to connect with the fact that he died for us, so that we can receive that, can receive the benefit of what he has done. The Holy Spirit in us is the fulfillment of God's plan for us. Even if at the moment the manifestation may not be complete, we may not be completely free, but this is progression, and that progression, that coming to pass, the manifestation that is going to take place is going to be dependent on our understanding of the reality of the Holy Spirit in us, and to appropriate that reality. This is why Jesus gave so much importance. When he was leaving, he says, you know, wait until you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, people think that they had to wait yet. Well, and this is this, you see, the enemy used every word in the word to keep people into bondage when they don't understand what they're saying. See, oh, well, I had to wait to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The waiting is finished the day of Pentecost. The only thing you have to do now is to receive it, to take it by faith, not to wait. There is not one place in the New Testament beside Acts chapter 1 verse 4 that says to wait. Is there? You can see the people filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts many times. Did you see any of the people talking to them and bringing them to the decision or to that experience to say to them, well, wait until you get it? If you read the Bible, you know that there is not once that happened. Only Jesus said, wait until, because the Holy Spirit had not come yet. Now the Holy Spirit is come, it's here, the only thing you have to do is to receive it, take it, appropriate it. Lambano. Good. You learned the word. Amen? There is a part we play. And this is a part in which we exercise our will and our decision. See, God doesn't want puppets. Want people that are decided, that are committed, that are willing to take a step, they are going to willing to take a step of faith, they are willing to take action. Because it's in our action that he can move. See, there is a component of faith that has to do with what we do, not just what we say. Not just sitting there and pray. You pray to get ready to go ahead and do something. And to make a decision and to take a step is so important for us to realize that the Jesus' command to receive the Holy Spirit to his disciples in Acts chapter 1 applies today just as much as that day for us. Because it's just as important for us today to receive the Holy Spirit and to grow into that experience, because it's not just something that happened once and is finished. It's a new way of living that comes as the anointing of God is manifested from inside us. This was the plan of God from the beginning. That's the promise of the Father. And we have to realize that when we start accepting that and start taking action on it. Because, you know, we can be there and say, oh yes, I believe the Holy Spirit. Sit there and do nothing. Well, I'm sorry, I don't see any evidence. You see, when something happens spiritually, there is always some evidence, some manifestation, some things that happens on the physical, because the physical is subjected to the Spirit. So that when they receive the Holy Spirit, something happened that day. I mean, the place was starting to be a wind in the place, and there was a sound, and there were flames, and they start to speak in tongues. They didn't need to wonder, did we get the Holy Spirit? Hello? I mean, you shouldn't be wondering if you got it or not. You should know, because you had the experience, and that experience changed the way you look at things. Changed the way you deal with your life and the life of the people around you. This is the purpose of this that God is doing so that we can start operating on a different level, in a different way. You are not anymore the person you were before. You are a new person that with not just a religious belief, but actually with power in you, operating and enabling you to do things that before you weren't able to do. And for that to happen, you had to break through certain things. One of the things you had to break through is your head and your logical thinking. Because this is not a logical thing. This is a spiritual thing, so you had to break through your the limitation of your logic that is based on your previous experience. See, this is the struggle all the time. I mean, we depend so much on what we think and what our senses are telling us, when instead God is trying to show us that there is a dimension that is much bigger than all our experiences and all our thinking, and that this kingdom is there, is available to us today, and He wants us to move in there, but these other things hinder us from being able to move there. See, that's the blockage we have all the time about receiving healing. Because to receive healing, you have to believe that the physical things are not really physical, so physical. I mean, they are not really so solid. And that there is more than the things that we can touch. See, this is where God wants to bring us. Alive. I can say, without limits. The way Jesus had it. The life that wasn't limited by the circumstances that we are in. This is the way what God wants to release in us. This is why Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works. Why? Because that's what He wants us to experience, and that's what He wants us to move into. And we have to come against the things that hinder us from being able to do that, which mostly are the way what our senses tell us, because they tell us, you cannot go there because they start there. Well, you can go do anywhere, can do anything, if there is enough faith in you. Jesus walked in water. What I'm saying here is this, that we can do things beyond the normal when we start allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and to see things from His perspective instead of our perspective, instead of our senses. We are not going to see any miracles in our lives if we go by our thinking or by our senses. Praise the Lord. Now, that's why Jesus said it very clearly. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. And that was important. Wait for the promise of the Father. Okay. Which He said, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. No many days say. When the apostle says, when are you going to establish again the kingdom of Israel? In a way, it's connected, but the point is they are doing it only on the physical. In reality, it's the kingdom of God that that Jesus was trying to establish. The thing is, the image or the idea of the kingdom that they had was limited, was wrong. We get into the kingdom right away when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. There's going to be not a full manifestation in the physical, but there's going to be some manifestation. And that some manifestation is the evidence that we have been filled, the experience that we have. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So you can expect to receive power. You should see the power of God, not just talk or agree theologically about that principle. And then you can be my witness. You see, what you start, what does it mean that you can be my witness? You know, the fact that you are the God witness is the fact that they are going to see because of the how strange you are, or the things that you are doing that are so unusual and that nobody else can do it. That, like for the apostles, you know, they said that they were uneducated, but they said, you know, but these people must have been with Jesus. Can they say about us, they must have been with Jesus? That means we had to look different, be different, act different, talk different, be different than everybody else. And they say, oh, this is one of those fanatics. Yes. I'm not fanatic. I'm more balanced than they are. But they don't know anything, so that's why. But the idea is simple. That we have to get to the place when we are different. When we are a peculiar people. When we are people filled with power. When we do things happen. Why? Because it's not us doing it, it's God doing it, and it's the Holy Spirit doing within us. And we have to have the courage to do it, because you need courage to stand up and to do the things that God calls you to do. God cannot work through timid people. Why? Because they're afraid of what people would think. They're afraid of what they would say. Who cares what they say? What's important is what God is going to say. Hallelujah. You have to do it in the right spirit, but the key thing is that you have to be able to have boldness about God. Stand for what you believe. If you want to see the power of God working in you. This verse is God has given us the spirit of fear. Actually, the word there is timidity. You see, what I'm saying is there has to be a manifestation when the Holy Spirit comes in us, because if there is no manifestation, nothing happened. When there is a change inside, you can going to get the change outside. When healing takes place of any type, there's going to be some physical manifestation. It may not be the whole thing, but there's going to be a change there that you know this something happened. And sometimes it's just that the pain goes, or the other feeling goes, or you know that you know that you know, and there is a strong confidence within you. It was pretty evident on the day of Pentecost. Flame of fire and people speaking in tongues. And they haven't done that before. To the point that people think they were drunk. I mean, that they made a commotion. Today's approach to the seeker-sensitive churches, this is completely contrary to what the Holy Spirit did the day of Pentecost. Hello? Can you see it? Or do I have to explain it? Explain it? Don't speak in tongues, because otherwise you're going to get people turned off. That's the attitude of seeker-sensitive church. When instead, you don't gear up for the people that don't believe anything. You bring the truth, and they're going to listen to you. Otherwise, there is nothing that you share that they can get. A wrong mentality, wrong approach. This is the way to get Christianity down the drain. What's happening? It's the wrong thing, the wrong idea. It's the power of God that brings people to repentance. It's the power of God and the love of God that brings people to repentance. It's the power of God that gets you things moving. Otherwise, there is nothing that you are different from any club at the corner of the street. We are not a social club to please people. The apostles weren't pleasing people. They were healing people. It's a big difference. Amen? People want to be healed. When they, you know, everybody can please them, doesn't do any good. They go out and they're the same place they were before. It's when they are healed that they know that there is something real in what you're saying. You can't convince people that way. You cannot people get people converted that way. You cannot people accept Jesus that way. You get just some man philosophies spread. That's not the way. That's not the Holy Spirit way. That's not the what the book of Acts was doing. Unless we go back to the way Jesus planned it, we cannot succeed in spreading the gospel properly. As simple as that. See, and everything from God, everything is received by faith, including the Holy Spirit. You had to yield, you had to take that step of faith, they had to go beyond what you can think to be able to get it. It's true for healing, it's true for being baptized on the Holy Spirit, it's true for the operation of the gifts, it's true for everything. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything that God does is by faith. And I don't know many people really understand faith in this day. They don't even preach it properly. If there is something that we need to badly come in contact with and receive from God, is the Holy Spirit. I mean, not just, I just born again, I got the Holy Spirit. No, there has to be a real manifestation. The apostles accepted Jesus, but wasn't enough. They had to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to have a difference in their life. It's not an optional choice to have a victorious Christian life. You need it, and you need to yield to it, and you need to learn to operate with the Holy Spirit. You need to walk with the Holy Spirit. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you to go beyond your comfort zone. Comfort zone. That's the problem. We want to be comfortable and not to shake things too much. Well, this is the opposite of what Jesus did, and that's the opposite of what the apostle did. So we had to break through that. We had to enable God to convince us that we had to allow him to do it. Amen? So this is what I'm going to try to work on in this series. Okay. To get you to move beyond the comfort zone and to start seeing the manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit operating in you. And if you haven't got baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, just get it. You don't need to wait any longer. What are you waiting for? When Jesus comes back, at that time you don't need it anymore. Amen? You know, this is what God wants. And it's not for the kid that is, that's, he wants to work through us. He calls us to be his witnesses. You cannot be God's witness. You can go all the corner of the street and operate and share with people in the flesh, and you're going to do nothing. Or you're going to do very minimal work. Go like Peter did at the beautiful gate, get the lame, jump up, and you're going to see that you're going to get some commotion. Oh, but I know I don't want to shake the water too much. Well, and then you're going to miss all the fun. It is fun to see God working because it's, you know that it's not you. You cannot heal anybody, but God can heal through you because he has anointed you to do that. You see, the same anointing that Jesus had, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Well, it's upon us. It's with us. That's what he's released. It's done. Can't wait anymore. It's time to take it and go with it. Amen? Amen. Okay, so next we're going to see our qualification. See, you may think, well, you know, I can't do anything. I don't know much. I don't know the scripture. It doesn't matter. You're going to know the scriptures too. It doesn't matter what you know. It's not you. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not you. It's the Spirit in you that does the work. Yes. Praise the Lord. Let's close for today. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we know that in ourselves we can do not much. That means in our flesh. But Lord, in our heart and our spirit, as we are connected with you, we can do much. Because you work in us. Because we are your temple. And we thank you and praise you for that, Lord. Help us to break through all the mental blocks, the religious ideas, the bondages, Lord, that come from our thinking, the legalistic views, the beliefs that keep us limited, Lord, so that we can start walking in the limitless power of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.